This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
All right, the ultimate conspiracy theory, these people that Bryce Abel and his partner encountered with dark skies. Whoa.
Yeah.
Well, we can also have another thing. What if it lasted a second season? And these, whoever they were, these agents or whoever, helped you make it to that
season?
I'm not sure
that I was up for that, because they would have had to really, really prove who they were. And then I would have been thinking, what am I doing? I don't know. I don't know. That's a speculative thing. I'm not really sure what we would have done. I know our plan for the second season was to move ahead chronologically and have Bobby Kennedy, who was a main character in the series, heavily involved before he gets assassinated in 68. And then we are going to wrap Watergate into the UFO situation and all of those things. But we were thinking mostly about story at that time. And as I said, these guys – well, let me just give you one specific example. They basically, as I said, thought, well, you got the Kennedy thing right, and you got a bunch of other things right, and you got the idea that the 60s were a time of turbulence, partly because of keeping this secret, etc. So they were happy to say that. Now, what they picked on us about was we had come up with something called the ganglion that was a sort of a alien creature that nested in your brain and took over your body. Okay. And we did that mostly to sort of add the horror aspect to it. We hadn't seen it in the literature and we hadn't heard anybody tell us that's what was going on. We just did it because it was more visceral than saying having a computer chip inserted in somebody's brain. We thought that was more interesting. And they pointed that out. They were like, well, that's not the way it really happens. But they were so dismissive. I can't tell you how weird it was to have people debating what was on the screen in our TV series from this point of view where they could be arrogant and cocky about it, you know, and just like, listen, you guys need our help because, you know, those ganglions, that's not how it happens and blah, blah, blah. And so it was very strange. I can't deny that it was very strange. And if Tom DeLonge somehow fell into that kind of thing but passed their test, say Tom DeLonge went to the cemetery at midnight, he might have passed their test and they might have brought him into the chain and he may have met other people, which is why I'd love to meet him someday and hear what his thoughts are.
Okay. Did these men that you were in touch with wear black suits?
No. They were very lean and military lean is how I'd put it. They looked like they were in their 30s. They were clearly ex-military or current military. I mean, they knew the lingo. They had that vibe. They were no-nonsense guys. And they just sort of brought it in their attitude. And they basically said as much. One of the things that they said that we got very right is that we had said from the beginning that the cover-up was not centered in the Air Force but was centered in naval intelligence. Our main character on Majestic 12 was Frank Bach, who was a naval intelligence guy. And they said that was it, that they were naval intelligence, and that the guy they wanted us to meet was naval intelligence.
So he wasn't Agent Gibbs.
No. I mean, listen, the whole thing sounds crazy. It's been a number of years. I've forgotten more of the details than I remember. But interestingly enough, because you mentioned that I'll be speaking at the IUFOC in Phoenix, I'm literally speaking on Valentine's Day, which is the first day of the conference. My wife isn't thrilled that I'm spending Valentine's Day talking UFOs to 2,000 of my closest friends, but that's the breaks. But one of the things that I'm doing in preparation of that for this speech that I'm giving called Fear and Loathing on the Trail of the Saucers is I'm meeting with my former Dark Skies partner, Brent Friedman, this weekend. And he and I are going to go through that event that happened to us piece by piece, memory by memory. And I'm going to write it all down this time. And I'm going to try to remember all the details with Brent on the theory that we can push each other to try to remember the smaller details of the whole thing. And I'm going to really for the first time, try to tell the details of that story I've just told you at the IUFOC conference.
That's perfect, because I was going to ask you if you'd had a transcriptionist or recorded the conversation you had.
They would never have allowed that.
This all happened back in the late 80s, early 90s?
No, it happened in Dark Skies went on the air September of 1996. That was the night that we met this guy when he crashed our party, you know, and then within a week or so, we had met these other two guys. So this would be like October of 1996 when it happened.
That's kind of interesting, because you know how you were saying about the sort of collision of conspiracies and so on with Kennedy and the UFOs and stuff. It's interesting to see how that kind of percolated up through maybe the collective public consciousness, because back in the late 80s, early 90s, I was in a local grunge thing here called 9 Days and wrote a song called Who Really Killed John Kennedy.
Yeah.
And in that song, it was exactly that conspiracy, along with John Lennon and Marilyn Monroe. And around that time, I started seeing other people then within weeks, months, just the thing just started to percolate. And I don't know where it actually began, if, you know, I kind of came up with it at the same time as other people, but it was really interesting to see. And I absolutely loved Dark Skies. That was fabulous.
Thank you. But, you know, just to pursue that, I can't tell you that, you know, what your own timeline was or whatever. I can only tell you that when Brent and I were writing Dark Skies in 1994 and 1995, we had never, ever, ever heard anybody talk about JFK and UFOs. We couldn't find anything on it. We never saw anything about it. We literally did it because we thought it was the greatest collision of conspiracies. But if you go on the internet right now and you ask, you know, if you Google JFK and UFOs, you get hundreds of articles and mentions about it. So I think you're right. Wherever it first came from, however it first got out into the open, it has been embraced in ufological and conspiracy circles ever since. And the question has always got to be, which came first, the chicken or the egg? I mean, was it in the air because it really happened, or did I would say the Dark Skies pilot is the greatest attempt to put that in the public sphere, because obviously we were seen by many, many, many millions of people that night, and the entire pilot was about JFK and UFOs. So somehow it's gotten out there, whether it was because some crazy guy like me put it on a TV series, or whether it was because it was in your song, or whether it was whatever. There it is.
Yeah, it's like a whole bunch of people kind of hit on this sort of idea that there's something going on there. And I think it was really interesting. And so naturally, like, when I'm watching this show and I'm going, I could have, why, you know, wasn't I working with this guy? Because this is, you know.
It's a fascinating problem. I mean, it's very, but, you know, I would say this, guys, that very issue that we're talking about, chicken and egg on JFK and UFOs, where did it come from? I mean, that's part of the problem of studying the UFO situation we have now. It's why I like original cases that go way back better, because they're less influenced by the feelings we have now. I'll give you an example. One of the films that we're working on right now is Captured, and it's based on the book Captured by Stanton Friedman and Kathy Martin, and it's about the Betty and Barney Hill case. I love the Betty and Barney Hill case. I wrote about it in Dark Skies, lo, those many years ago, and now I'm trying to make it as a major film because Betty and Barney are the first. I mean, you could argue whether they're the first, but it's certainly the first publicized UFO abduction that anybody had ever heard of. And what's great about Betty and Barney is they had every reason in the world not to want people to think that they thought they were abducted by aliens. They were an interracial couple, and the last thing they needed was more people looking at them critically. So, it's a terrific case. That's why I like that. Now you talk about an abduction, and you could stand on the street corner and say, I've been abducted by aliens, and three people would come up to you and say, yeah, man, me too.
I remember, by the way, I wish I had the recording. It's got to be somewhere. When I interviewed Betty Hill back in the 70s, it's out there somewhere. If I have the tape somewhere, I might try to do something. It just sort of came to my mind. We've got more to come. We're doing all the fear and loathing bit here with Bryce Sable, with Gene, Randall, and Bryce. You're in
the Paracast.
Neighbors, we've made such a deal with HelloFresh, and it means that everyone listening to this show can receive $30 off your first week of deliveries when you go to HelloFresh.com and use the offer code PARACAST30. You know, with HelloFresh, you can choose the delivery day that works best for you. They've got a wide variety of chef-curated recipes that change weekly. And can you imagine me cooking Japanese panko chicken? It makes me feel like I'm a chef. It means also that you could actually get your meal cooked in 30 minutes. For busy people, this is perfect. The simple recipes include step-by-step instructions so even I can figure it out. Go to HelloFresh.com, use the offer code PARACAST30 to get $30 off your first week of deliveries. HelloFresh.com.
Hello, my name is Marjorie Wildcraft. I'm the founder of the Grow Network, which is an online community of people who produce their own food and medicine. We are really into backyard self-reliance. If you want this lifestyle, I suggest your first step be to learn some basic home medicine. Just the other day, my 18-year-old son came to me and said, "Mama, I got a sore throat. Can you fix me up?" And I said, "Sure, Ryan." And in about 24 hours, he was better. The best home medicine for you to start out with is garlic. It's an amazing natural antibiotic, and I can show you how to use garlic to handle ear infections, sore throats, colds, and flus. As a way for you to get to know a little bit more about me and the Grow Network, I've written up an easy introduction on how to use garlic. It's at gcnwellness.com. Now, the station manager told me that I needed to say the URL at least twice, even though it feels kind of weird. But if you're interested in backyard self-reliance, you are one of us. Go to www.gcnwellness.com and let's connect up.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I'm here to tell you about GCNTelecare.com, a team of board-certified doctors assisting you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Within 15 minutes of registration, care your family can afford. Revolutionizing the healthcare industry, virtual consulting providing diagnosis of non-emergency medical issues by phone or secure video on computer or smart mobile devices. GCNTelecare.com. Virtual care anywhere.
Hey guys, pardon the advertising interruption to your radio program. Do yourself a favor and please listen carefully. If you have tried or wanted to try Viagra or other male prescriptions in the last few years, you need to hear about Noxetril, the super pill that will transform your sex life forever. You see, Noxetril has been formulated and developed in U.S. FDA labs, and it's the real deal. Noxetril works, period. Strong results that increase blood flow fast. And best of all, there are no side effects like prescription meds. After years of research, the developers of Noxetril got it right. This remarkable pill is off the charts. Right now, we encourage you to take advantage of our incredible free bottle offer. So what are you waiting for? Noxetril. It's that good.
Call now and find out how to get a free bottle of Noxetril while supplies last. Call 1-800-993-2380. That's 800-993-2380. Free bottles for a limited time, so call now. 800-993-2380. 800-993-2380.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
Okay, let's continue here, but I want to ask you, these three men in khaki as opposed to dark suits, whatever they wore.
Yeah.
Okay. Three men in khaki mystery. The M.I.K. Whatever it is. Okay. Seriously.
Men in khakis. Yeah.
The men in khakis. Did you have any subsequent meetings with them after this initial encounter?
We did not, and that's on me. Brent, I think, might have gone for it. I just felt that these are people I don't know. They have not presented me what I would call proof of the things that they were saying. And for them to say, I should meet anybody at midnight in a cemetery sounded to me like a cult initiation as much as anything. And I think that may be what it was. It may very well be, I don't know, that this secret is so profound and so crazy that in order to get told what it is, you have to demonstrate that you're one of them, that you're crazy enough to meet them in a graveyard at midnight and put your life in their hands. You know, I had three young kids at the time. I was not prepared to do that. And so, no, we did not follow up. There's a specific detail about that, though, that goes beyond the follow-up, and I honestly can't lay it on you right now because I'm meeting with Brent about it. When he lays it on me, I'm going to be putting that out as well at the IUFOC, and I'd be happy to come back on and tell you about it if it strikes your fancy. It's not what I would call we followed up, but there's kind of a button to the story that I want to confirm is true, and I'm working on that now.
Maybe they were would-be producers who tried to direct the show.
They were not. I mean, I will tell you one thing. I was a CNN correspondent before this other life I have now as a writer and a producer.
Okay, so you were in the center of fake news.
I never did any fake news, and I don't think they're fake. I disagree with the president on this fake news thing he's on. But I will say I did develop by working at CNN and also as a reporter. I was an investigative reporter for PBS, and I worked at a number of places. And I've met many, many thousands of people in news, usually on either the best day of their lives or the worst day of their lives because it's news, not fake news, but real news. And I have developed a pretty good detector for being lied to or misrepresented or if people are trying to con me in any way. Because some of the best have conned me or tried to con me. These guys were either authentic or they were trained to be very authentic. These were not two guys, might have been three. You said three. I was telling the story as two, and now I've got three in my head, which goes to show you what the human memory is. I'm going to have to talk to Brent about that as well, I guess. But I think it was two, but the demeanor was clearly real. So they were either real or they were trained to appear real. There was no hesitation. There was no acting in it. It was just authenticity is all I could say. I was a little chilled to be in the middle of it because obviously we all want to know what the real truth is. And I was sort of like, well, get to the point. Like, you know, tell me what exactly is going on. But then at the same time, I had a television series to produce and whether I didn't have time to spend with them beyond that.
You've got extensive industry experience and you've had some weird things happen. So I absolutely have to ask you this. It's something that I experienced when I was in younger in the 70s. You might remember the show In Search Of.
Oh yeah.
Now this was with Nimoy and I love this show and everybody knows Nimoy. Star Trek was like my favorite television show. So I'm watching In Search Of and it was the UFO episode. And this
okay.
was in the days when it was being broadcast. So it was coming over the air. Towards the end of the show, all of a sudden, it cut to Nimoy saying, we're interrupting this show to bring you a clip of a real UFO in an archaeological dig. And we're going to – this is totally off the script of the show. And all of a sudden, they cut to this scene, black and white, perfectly clear film of a large dig. I don't mean just a small one, like large. Like you could put machines and stuff down into this. People were – sort of off in the distance, and you could see all the places where they were digging, and this faceted, perfectly clear, disc-shaped craft came floating up over the embankment and down in and around these people, and they were looking on like, what the heck is that? And I'm looking at this, and I'm going, this is fabulous. Like, I've never seen anything like this. And then all of a sudden, static, and that was it until the end of the show, at least 10 minutes or so of it. And I have never been able to find anyone else who's seen that. I don't even know how it's possible to do that. And if it's possible, how would that even happen? How could that happen?
And you witnessed it and you're willing to say this happened. So I
would go on record. I'd swear an affidavit. I'll never forget this thing. And yet I don't know anyone else who's seen it. But I mean, even if it was possible, I mean, what would they do? Hijack a transmitting station? And
Jay, I think what you've hit upon here is an example of why this has been such a vexing topic for people. It's no surprise to your listeners or to you guys, but the phrase is extreme strangeness. And there is that element of this. So, for example, it is entirely possible as a speculative theory that what you saw actually is what you saw and that it actually happened that way. But it is possible that we're encountering a form of phenomenon where it only happened to you. Or there's an interactivity sometimes between the observer and the observed. We know this from physics right now. The mere act of watching something changes its behavior. Here's what I think about this whole phenomenon and why I'm eager to see some growing form of disclosure happen. And there's a phrase that's attributed to a physicist. There's three people it's been attributed to, so I won't even try to attribute it. But the quote is, "The universe is not only stranger than we imagine, it is stranger than we can imagine." The truth of the matter is, when we finally, and hopefully it'll be in our lifetimes, but certainly in the next generation's lifetime, when we finally get a handle on what seems to be the reality behind this phenomenon, that it's going to blow our minds. It's not going to be exactly what you think it is. It's not going to be as simple as nuts and bolts. I don't think it's going to turn out that millions of people have been abducted. I think it's going to be turn out to be something even stranger than that. And I say, bring it on. I'm not going to tell you how old I am, but I'm old enough right now. I don't want to wait any longer. I want this to be discussed. I want the people who know what they know to come forward. So if there are other people with stories like yours, Jay, I want them to start putting them out there. I want people who investigate things to stop laughing about it. I want to applaud journalism like what was in the New York Times, because it's about time that we start talking honestly about this. And that's, I guess, one reason, Gene Way, I'm not happy with President Trump's ongoing attempt to try to discredit our news. I mean, let's reform it. Let's make it better, of course. But to try to act like everything is a fake story is not going to help us when we're trying to decide, are we being visited? And there are three questions. Who are they? What do they want? And are we safe? These are important questions for us to be asking right now. It should require the brain power of the entire human race put on it right now to try to figure it out. And I'm tired of somebody who puts impediments in front of that. So I'm not a fan of President Trump for several reasons, but that one, it really bothers me.
We've got more to come with Gene Randall and Bryce. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Hawaii was a wake-up call. Don't be caught without a disaster shelter. Atlas makes an all-disaster shelter that will protect your family from fallout, tornadoes, and hurricanes for only $99.99. That also includes the NBC air filtration system, solid steel construction with an airtight bulletproof door. That's right, for $99.99 and up. Call 1-855-4-BUNKER or go to iwantthatshelter.com. Atlas Survival Shelters, the world leader in fallout shelters.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I'm here to tell you about GCNTelecare.com, a team of board-certified doctors assisting you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Within 15 minutes of registration, care your family can afford. Revolutionizing the healthcare industry, virtual consulting, providing diagnosis of non-emergency medical issues by phone or secure video on computer or smart mobile devices. GCNTelecare.com, virtual care anywhere.
Do you have difficulty taking supplements? Are you searching for a high-quality, complete nutritional drink that your whole family will love? NutraMedical's Life Support has arrived. All of your daily nutritional requirements in one quick, delicious drink. Dr. Bill Deagle's Life Support is a proprietary blend of vegan protein, activated vitamins, essential minerals, amino acids, probiotics, green tea, digestive enzymes, anti-inflammatories, cancer prevention, detoxification, and much more. Your body will high-five you for this one. Life Support is the best complete nutritious best meal replacement on the market. Whether you are an elite athlete, have post-operative challenges, chronic illness, elderly, or a family that just wants a quick, delicious drink, try Dr. Bill Deagle's Life Support for optimized nutrition in one great-tasting smoothie. Just add cold water, almond milk, fruit, or anything else you like. NutriMedical's Life Support. Try our great-tasting chocolate or vanilla today. Call 888-212-8871 or visit us online at NutriMedical.com. NutriMedical.com for the whole family.
People search the internet for everything, including you. With a few clicks, information from your past can be quickly discovered. From business deals gone wrong, to misleading reviews, negative articles, and unflattering images. Studies show 78% of people search for someone online before doing business with them. Will they find the real you? With ReputationDefender.com, you can establish a positive internet presence. ReputationDefender.com pioneered the field with over a decade of experience, serving thousands of successful individuals and businesses. We use patented, award-winning systems to boost positive content and suppress negative material. Don't let the internet define you. Take control of your reputation today with ReputationDefender.com. For your quick, free reputation analysis, call 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771, 800-831-0771, or visit ReputationDefender.com.
Warning, if you're drowning in debt you can't afford, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to pay it all back, because you don't. What the credit card companies don't want you to know is that there's actually a way to get debt-free without paying off your entire debt or going bankrupt. If you have $5,000 or more in credit card debt, you now have the right to let us settle that debt for a fraction of what you owe. For free information, call Credit Associates now. 1-800-959-5759. We'll even show you how much money you could save. If you can't afford to pay off all your debt, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to. Call Credit Associates now for free information on how to get debt-free faster than you ever thought possible without debt consolidation or bankruptcy. We depend on your success and offer a guarantee, so there's no risk. For free information, call now. 1-800-959-5759. That's 1-800-959-5759. 1-800-959-5759.
This is Jacques Vallée. You're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Okay, I was looking this up, J. Randall Murphy, about remembering this thing on TV. Have you heard of the Mandela effect?
You just actually pulled that, like you read my mind. Yeah, we've been talking about that on the forum. That's really interesting. And it maybe has something to do with that. I don't know. You've been trying to get me off the nuts and bolts interstellar hypothesis, and that one just hit me. And it was kind of an intellectual zing that was, I thought you'd be kind of happy with me, but I haven't heard too much.
Well, you guys are now deeply going into parallel universe, alternative realities, which, by the way, just to circle back to where we started, that's why I always tell people to look at my Breakpoint series, the Kennedy book and the Beatles book. They're presented straightforward as if they're just a history book. But in fact, if what we are beginning to understand about physics from some of our top scientists in the field is true, then those ideas I came up with maybe happened some other place, and so did trillions of other Earths that are out there. That's what I'm trying to say. Something very odd has been going on for a while. It's not the simple explanation, in my view. It's the nuanced, complicated, weird one. If there's a positive reason why people would keep the truth from us as opposed to a negative reason, the only positive reason would be they've been trying for years to get a handle on it, and they don't quite have a handle on it. And to simply announce to people that there's a reality to this, but we don't know what it is, and we can't stop these craft from flying around our skies, is not a confidence builder. That's certainly one of the things that Dolan and I were talking about in AD After Disclosure, that we don't know the answers. We just don't know.
Well, the question I have here, which is something where we're looking into possibilities of disclosure, what does the government really know Or is it a matter of we've got something weird going on there and we have no idea what it is? We don't know if it's friendly. We don't know if it's hostile. And that would be another reason to keep it a secret. You don't want to admit that you're stumped.
No, it's the only reason that I would put up with. But here's the other thing I would say, though. That may have been true at one point, and it might even still be true, but that's no excuse for us not to be having an open discussion about it now. I think probably after Roswell happened, they certainly put in certain containment/disinformation ideas in order to buy themselves some time, which I think is probably a good national security plan at that time. But we just gotten through World War II and the Nazis and all that stuff, and people were just freaked out, and this was pretty freakish too. So I think they wanted to they were still in the World War II fight the Nazi mold, and they tried to keep it to themselves while they studied it. And I bet that the architects of denial and ridicule, going back to the late 40s, I bet those people, if you'd asked them how long they thought they could get away with this, would probably have said about 5 years. I think that probably would have been the horizon for how long before it was just going to be out there. And I bet the architects of denial and ridicule would be as surprised as anybody on the planet right now that their attempt at cloaking the information that they were gathering has been so successful, because it has. It turned out that the best way to keep a secret is denial and ridicule, particularly if it has anything to do with UFOs or aliens or extraterrestrials or ultra-dimensionals or anything. If you're getting into the weird weeds of science, denial and ridicule is the way to go.
Now, I should point out to you, there's a book out there called Roswell in the 21st Century from Kevin Randall.
Yeah.
And we know Kevin has been following Roswell for over 30 years.
Yeah.
And what he did was view the case as a cold case, and he's done this with other UFO sightings, particularly Socorro, New Mexico. And he decided after going through all the evidence that a lot of the things we've accepted in Roswell are not correct, and particularly the possibility that alien bodies were seen. He said it just couldn't be verified. People said that, but he couldn't find the verification that it was a consistent story. And his feeling is something happened there, but we don't know what happened, and we may never know what happened.
I have to respectfully disagree with that. I think Kevin is a very bright guy, and I certainly understand where he's coming from on that. I sort of side with his former partner, Don Schmidt. I have Don's witness to Roswell under option and Stanton Friedman's Top Secret Magic under option. And we're doing a movie. We have the script just finished called Unidentified, and it's the story of Stanton and Don and his partners over the years racing to break the Roswell story. I go with the mosaic theory. Schmidt, Randall, Friedman, all the Roswell researchers have collectively talked to about 600 witnesses. And while there isn't any single witness that sits down and says, this is what happened, and lays it out from start to finish, from top to bottom, they each lay out a piece of it, for their own piece. Because remember, secrets are always compartmentalized. So you put these 600 pieces of the mosaic together, and I don't think there's any doubt that there was a crash of something that's I hesitate to call it extraterrestrial, because I don't know that's the origin, but certainly something that was non-earthly happened. I believe that. I believe that the facts are that. And while I, again, think Kevin Randall, bright guy, I don't maintain his skepticism of that event today. I think it happened.
Of course, if you go with this sort of mosaic theory as an analogy, then what you've got is a lot of little pieces. Some of them make up the noise, and some of them make up the picture. And when you get far enough away, it does look like it adds up to something recognizable. But that can also be an interpretation, because your mind kind of fills in the blanks. And depending on how it fills in those blanks, it can change the shape of the picture. So there is a certain element of belief there.
Absolutely.
So I used to be a real sort of believer that Roswell was kind of the smoking gun, and I'm less certain of that now, but I'm probably a little more certain than, say, Dean.
Well, let me put it this way, though. Smoking gun, to me, means you've literally caught the criminal with the gun smoking in his hand, okay? Roswell's not a smoking gun, because nobody has come forward and said, here's the piece of the craft, or here's the body, or here are the photos, or here are the anything. So it's not a smoking gun, even to me. I'm just saying I'm willing to believe that it was the thing that kickstarted the entire cover-up that's been going on for so long. By the way, the problem is just because there's a lot of noise doesn't mean there's not a signal. Right.
Oh, absolutely.
So the part of the problem we have, and this is again why I'm talking about Fear and Loathing on the Trail of the Saucers next month, is that it's so damn hard for us to get to disclosing to ourselves what really happened. I don't expect necessarily the government to do it. Maybe they will, but I expect us to do it for ourselves. And we've made it incrementally harder all the time by having lots of charlatans trying to palm off fake stories and so forth. And it bothers me because it sets us back. And I wish there was a magic wand I could wave and get everybody to behave. That doesn't seem to be the case. So again, if you go back to the truth, which is during World War II, we did massive disinformation. We trained a whole lot of people to be really good at it. That's how we invaded during D-Day. We had massive disinformation. We had giant departments devoted to it. So now, less than, 3 years later after D-Day, we have a crash of something that nobody knows exactly what it is, but it ain't us. What are you going to deploy against that? If you're the military, you're going to deploy the disinformation boys at it. And so that mosaic has a lot of pieces that are fake in it. And that's irritating. You can't just take everything everybody says at face value. In fact, you can't even take half of it at face value. But again, that's noise. I still think there's enough signal in the Roswell story that I buy it. I guess, Gene, you're saying you buy it as well. Is that what you're saying?
I think something happened. I don't try to guess whether it was the crash of a spaceship, something experimental. I'm not going to make that leap without more evidence one way or the other. We have Bryce Abel, Gene Steinberg, J. Randall Murphy. You're in
the Paracast.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNLive.com today.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, R-O-C-K-O-I-D-S.com.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and sling bows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I'm here to tell you about GCNTelecare.com, a team of board-certified doctors assisting you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Within 15 minutes of registration, care your family can afford. Revolutionizing the healthcare industry, virtual consulting, providing diagnosis of non-emergency medical issues by phone or secure video on computer or smart mobile devices. GCNTelecare.com. Virtual care anywhere.
It's been said, any society is only 3 missed meals away from chaos. Those times may be near. Think about it. Our country faces multiple terrorist threats and aggressions from Russia and North Korea. Social unrest and violent marches yet again may lead to looting of stores and city shutdowns. And our crumbling infrastructure leaves our power grid vulnerable to long-term outages from a single cyber attack. When the chaos from any one of these threats arises, the government knows it can't provide during a widespread national emergency. That's why you need your own plan for self-reliance. That's where My Patriot Supply comes in. Get a 4-week survival food supply for only $99. That includes breakfast, lunches, and dinners. Order online at preparewithgcn.com. $99 for 4 weeks of survival food that tastes like homemade cooking and lasts up to 25 years from My Patriot Supply. Get your kits today at preparewithgcn.com. Free shipping is included. Preparewithgcn.com.
Looking for that edge during those intimate moments? We see many ads for enhancement, but the side effects include death. At GCN Team, we should change the Healthy Body, Brain, and Heart Pack to the Healthy Libido Pack. The brain and heart are not the only organs that require a healthy vascular system. For proper blood flow at the right moment, go to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
This is Robert Hastings, author of UFOs and Nukes, and you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Neighbors, I have an announcement. On next week's episode of the Paracast, we're going to have two guests. One is David Halperin, an old friend of mine who has done a lot of studies of UFOs in antiquity, and he's a biblical scholar. So he's a real expert. The other guest will be Eric Von Däniken, making his first appearance on the Paracast. Won't be for a full show, but we'll keep him on for as long as possible. That's next week on the Paracast. Eric Von Däniken and David Halperin. That's going to be a really interesting show. We have Bryce Zabel here, TV writer, producer, author, and man about town who learned in the Orient the power to cloud men's minds so they cannot see him. No, that's not the one. I'm sorry. I got that wrong. Oh, well.
I think this presentation that you've got coming up, Fear and Loathing, that sounds like a really worthwhile. That sounds like a really worthwhile event. I wish I was more in the locale to see that.
Yeah, you know, I think I was in a Hunter S. Thompson mode because in the Beatles book, the Beatles end up with Hunter Thompson in 1972 and end up spending an evening with him doing Hunter S. Thompson things. And so I ended up writing that portion of the book in the voice of Hunter S. Thompson. So I had him in my head, and it just seemed like I reread his books because I'm a journalism graduate, and so we all read Thompson back then. But I reread him, and I just got his voice in my head, and I had him tell the story of his encounter with the Beatles. But then I thought, you know, this guy's attitude, I miss that he's not with us right now because I'd love to hear what he would say about the UFO mystery. I even tried to search for that to see if he'd ever been quoted talking about it. I couldn't find it. So I'm just going to channel him as best I can in terms of the skepticism that he would bring to this. But he would also, I believe, besides skepticism, bring with him a whole lot of skepticism about whether the people who scoff at it were telling the truth. I think he'd say, yeah, maybe.
Well, there was definitely sort of a counterculture undercurrent with him, including the use of hallucinogenics and such. So I think Chris might have something to say about that if he were on today. But there's you know, a certain element that figures that, well, there was a lot of this going on back in the day, and maybe people were literally seeing things, but it might not be something that was actually there. Or maybe that the actual use of hallucinogens does actually give some people the ability to see things that are there, but other people don't see. And
right.
That's all fairly controversial, of course. I don't know if you get anything into anything a little more serious, like you had mentioned the ridicule and the debunking.
Right. Yeah.
And that all started taking place in 1953 with the Robertson panel, where they made it an official policy to do that. So I'm not sure if you've touched on any of that or not.
Oh, sure. But I think I would argue the disinformation part of it started, you know, at the very beginning. The crash happened, they admitted it, and then cooler heads came in and said, no, let's buy that back. And I think they started rolling it all up very efficiently at that time. And
they
got better at it. As the years went on, they got better and better at it, which is why I say, given what happened with Brent and myself in 1996, that gave sufficient time for them to get very, very good at it, which is why I give it – I don't even know what – I couldn't handicap it for its reality. It felt real, but at the same time, the people who would be putting on things that were not real, they had plenty of time to figure out how to do that. So that could have been the explanation.
Right. Well, if you look at the timeline for that, the Robertson panel in 53 was put together on the orders of the OSI, and the OSI was put together in 1948. I mean, look at the timeline there. And its focal point was for the analysis of foreign scientific technological developments. Back in the 80s, it was merged into the Office of Science and Weapons Research. So I'm thinking that if what you and I both say or think are obviously the truth here, because there was some sort of cover-up going on, that these are the people who were involved in it back in the day after this happened, because like you were saying, a disc recovered at Ranch in Roswell. It wasn't all that big of a deal. People didn't even think it was something to be thought of as crazy at first.
Right.
They thought, oh, this is a really interesting story. People liked it. The public was engaged. And then all of a sudden, this air of ridicule started to creep into the whole thing.
Well, if you think about it, not only was that first mention of it pretty matter of fact, although it was a big deal and it was front page news, but it was like there was no attempt to deny it. It was just, this is the thing. And we went very quickly. Let me put it this way. When the first book about Roswell was written in 1980, it seemed outrageous. What? A crash? How could a UFO crash? They're so advanced. That's absolutely ridiculous, right? And yet it wasn't ridiculous in 47 when they said it. So during those years from 47 to 80, a lot of things had been done to try to call into question the efficacy of people that were talking about it in a serious way. And that's where we got things like little green men. Instead of calling them UFOs and extraterrestrials or others or entities or whatever you wanted to call them, we started calling them flying saucers and little green men, which already started the policy of making people not quite take them that seriously. After all, it seemed kind of funny. And as recently as just last year, you could see whenever someone does a UFO story on the local news, I'd say about 90% of the time the local anchors are smiling when they report on the story.
Now we've got a whole new perspective coming out, though, after this DeLong thing, where you see people taking it seriously. They're asking legitimate questions. They're no longer snickering under their breath. I think this is a really important shift, but how do we keep that going when there's no real common body in the ufology
field? I think we can. I mean, I think that, by the way, what you said about what Tom DeLong's done and accomplished, that people are talking about it seriously, that's fantastic. That's why I say he doesn't really need to have the double purpose of also trying to sell television series and movies about it. He should stick to keeping that conversation going because he's doing a pretty good job with it. But I do think we've just entered a new time. When this kind of story was a front page story on the New York Times, it got covered everywhere around the world. And certainly in many countries besides the United States, they take these matters more seriously than we have traditionally. But now maybe we're starting to take it a little more seriously, because I could be wrong, but I think that there is a growing sense in the journalism community and frankly the wider community that there's something going on here. And I think human curiosity being what it is, once you turn the corner from saying it's all a stupid joke to I wonder if this is real, then human curiosity wants an answer. And
yeah,
I think we're moving into that.
Even Neil deGrasse Tyson's been having a little bit of a a time trying to choke his way past explaining this one.
I saw him on CNN, and he's usually very glib. I've met him before at the Emmys and things like that. I know this. I don't know him, but I've seen him in the work before. And I've never seen him as off his game as the day that he was on CNN after the New York Times story broke.
Yeah,
he just
that was
wasn't
good.
Very confident. The usual glib confidence he had of his go-to comments just weren't quite playing when the story itself came with authenticating video and pilots' voices and was reported by the New York Times. Suddenly, all his sort of dismissive, jokey kind of things fell really flat. I mean, I'd almost urge anyone, you want to see the first real proof that there's something going on, look at him on the day after, and you'll say, this is a man seriously shaken by what he's now being forced to talk about.
No kidding. Absolutely. Going back to this Mandela effect thing, they're like, okay, so let's suppose this is something that when we say, well, maybe the government doesn't really know, or the secret keepers, as you've referred to them in the past, maybe they really don't know that much more than we do because, and this was an idea I had, maybe the aliens are having the same thing happen to them. In other words, the aliens might find they've suddenly been materialized in somebody's room or in the sky over Phoenix, and they go, WTF, what's going on? And are then transported back to where they came from, leaving them as equally mystified as we are about what happened.
So, Randall, the suggestion here is that maybe they've hopped in from another reality and find themselves accidentally here from wherever they come from, Earth 38, Earth 2, whatever it is. I'm not talking about the Arrowverse on the CW where they do a lot of that multiverse stuff on the comic book hero shows these days. But that concept where they're coming into this reality accidentally and then maybe they find a way to get back, or it's deliberate that they are able to make that transition. They have the technology. We have Bryce Sable, Gene Steinberg, and J. Randall Murphy. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
We also have swag. You know, we have all these exclusive Paracast things that you can buy. We've got like, I guess, 60 or so different items, and entails t-shirts, sleeves for notebook computers, iPad cases, mouse pads, the Paracast jumbo tote bag, all sorts of t-shirts and jackets and stuff like that for men and women. We have a Paracast aluminum water bottle. All this stuff, you go to store.theparacast.com, store.theparacast.com. What makes it special is that the items are the best quality, you know, great t-shirts, fabrics, and they have our official logo on them. That's what makes them special, in multiple sizes and colors. We even have stuff for children, stuff for women, stuff for men. We have all sorts of sizes, like small up to X large. A lot of good stuff. That's the swag from the Paracast. You go to store.theparacast.com, stop by, and take a shopping tour.
Hi, I'm Kelly Cook, Chief Marketing Officer for Kmart and Sears. Every baby deserves the best possible start, but not all babies get one. March of Dimes is changing that. You can help us lead the fight for the health of all moms and babies. Join me and Kmart to March for Babies. Let's raise funds and be champions for families near and far. Together, we are building a brighter future. Sign up for Kmart's team today at marchforbabies.org.
Cancer categorizes over 100 diseases. Though we do not diagnose, treat, or cure cancer, GCN team is offering the Clemson University study where there was up to a 95% reduction in cancerous cells when exposed to a plant-derived mineral supplement. If you or a loved one are searching for answers to this horrifying disease, come to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. We'll email you a copy for free. That's 877-878-4203.